Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. You found the right place if you're a Penguins fan, the Pens Nation Radio Show. Just stay right here.
The lights have gone out on the 2011-2012 season for your Pittsburgh Penguins after losing to the Flyers yesterday afternoon by a score of 5-1. They lose the series in six games. What started out as a pretty crazy July 1st, even here with the whole Jágr thing, you talked about how, man, it would be great to see these two teams play each other. They end up meeting each other in the first round. Not the best series, not a lot, I guess not as competitive as we all thought. A lot of blowout games, not much defense, not great goaltending by either team, really. But the Penguins do fall. This is the Pens Nation Radio Show. We're going to be on till 10:30 tonight. And I'm Andy Hughes, once again joined by Joe Depto and Ashley Langua. Guys, how you feeling right now?
It's I kind of made my peace with this series a while back, yeah. So I'm okay. You know, they get down 3-0. You can get as optimistic as you want. You can put together two nice performances all you want, but history is history.
I'm with Joe. I kind of I said at the beginning I didn't see us advancing past round one. And to be completely honest with you, the fact that it actually even went to six games after going down 0-3 was more than I expected. So, you know what, I've made my peace with the 2011-2012 hockey season and, you know, bring on September.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. After going down 3-0, it was hard. It was hard to watch, and it was really shocking, not something that we really thought was going to happen. I knew it was going to be a competitive series, and I had the Penguins winning in six games, but just the way that they lost was the hardest part. But we all know what happened. The goaltending wasn't great. The defense wasn't great for the Penguins. We're going to have a lot of time over the offseason to dissect what the Penguins need to do. So I'm not even going to get into that right now because I feel like, you know, we'll be talking about that plenty more. We'll have much more information later on. There's really no reason to do it right now when the playoffs are going on. And but guys, if I threw this question on Twitter, it's definitely a bad ending. Not the ending that the Penguins wanted or the Penguin fans wanted, but what were some of your favorite moments from the 2011-2012 season? You can call in 347-202-0344, or you can tweet us at the Pens Nation or any of us. So, guys, what can we take as positives from this season?
Well, I think if you want to pick one really big positive moment, and I think there were a few, but I think if you had to pick one, was Sidney Crosby's first game back against the New York Islanders, coming back and having a huge multi-point game like that. That was a guy that Pens fans hadn't seen in the lineup in nearly a calendar year. There were still a lot of skeptical people about his health and about his situation. So for him to come back and perform that way. But then again, I guess that was a little bit watered down because he was right back out of the lineup a couple weeks later. I think both of the really extensive win streaks were probably up there as well. I'm drawing for straws at this point.
What about you, Ashley?
I would have to agree with Joe, to see Sid come back not once but twice, and the first time was definitely more dominant, but to see him come back and know that he was fully capable of stepping right back in, barring an unfortunate elbow, that was pretty great. I also think Evgeny Malkin, he had a great season this year, and given the criticism that he's had the past couple of years and how people like to toss around lazy and how he seems to be, well, up until this point, and he's back there again, you know, let's get rid of him. Seeing him hit that 50-goal plateau and, you know, lead the league in scoring, that was something for me that I think was just kind of refreshing, and it was good to see him back in his old form throughout the entire season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, we saw what Malkin was doing in those off-season videos, how hard he was working. It was really nice to see it pay off for him in the season. And like you guys said earlier about Sid, great to see him come through here and stay healthy throughout the playoffs, go through the playoff run. Sid, Gino both had 8 points in the series in 6 games. Jordan Staal had 9. So that's respectable numbers, and I think a lot of people were on their cases. But, I mean, there aren't terrible numbers, but I guess that we kind of learned to expect more, I guess, is the word I guess I'm looking for there. But other things, in addition to Crosby and Malkin, I think the play of Pascal Dupuis and Matt Cook, you know, you could look at Matt Cook, how he was viewed as a dirty player last year. Came into this year, scored 19 goals on the season, same amount as Jaromir Jagr. I don't think any of us expected that. but he cleaned up his game, was the Penguins nominee for the Masterton Trophy. And then Pascal Dupuis, he had that long point streak at the end of the season there. No one thought that was coming. And James Neal, too, 40-goal scorer, came into the year hoping for 30 goals. And he said that was his goal. He scored 10 more than that, 40 goals, and he really, you know, turned himself into a premier player in the National Hockey League, a premier winger, and earned himself a nice, hefty contract for 6 years, $30 million. So those are some of the other things. And one last thing, aside from the players, I felt that Game 5 at Consult Energy Center was probably the loudest and probably the best crowd that has been there so far, which was good to see because there was a lot of criticism of the arena not being able to be loud. And I was there, and it was really, really loud that night. So that was really good to see the fans get pretty loud in that building and make it harder for the Flyers to play there. The Penguins did win the game, and the one TV timeout, the fans were just going nuts, and it was really great to see. So I think, you know, it's a disappointing ending for sure. I mean, this is a team that probably could have definitely had the talent, had the experience to go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, but I think there's, like I said, you know, all the stuff I named right there, there's a lot of positives to take, and there's plenty of optimism to have for next season.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I think that there were positives, but yeah. And I'm not trying to be, you know, a freaking David Downer over here, but I think that the way this season went out was a really tough pill for Pens fans to swallow. And if we're recapping this, we got to do it honestly. Last year, I'll be honest. I mean, last year, if you're a Pens fan, I don't even think Game 7 really hurt that much. I mean, losing blowing a 3-1 series lead, that sucks. But at the same time, I mean, when you go on, really, when you see that Tampa was just a goal away from beating the eventual Stanley Cup champions in the Eastern Conference Final, I think that given the fact that who you had out of the lineup was a tougher pill to swallow, or I mean, was an easier pill to swallow, then you get back in this year's lineup, everyone is healthy for the most part. I mean, guys are out here and there, but down that backstretch heading into the postseason, everybody is healthy. And really when the push came to shove, all of the numbers in terms of goals for, goals against, total points, road wins, things like that, those numbers were actually all down from last year to this year. So I got to imagine that even though, you know, it's another year of hockey come and gone, I don't think there's really too many overwhelming positives that you can take from this season. I think that underachieving, you know, you just got to look at this team as really, at least this season in a vacuum, a really, you know, pretty extensive list of underachievers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, you have anything to throw to that, about that?
No, not really. Joe does a great job of taking the words right out of my mouth, so I'll just kind of bandwagon his response.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of storylines that went into the year, and more that's it's going to be an interesting offseason, that's for sure. But like I said, we'll try to stay away from that for now because there's plenty of time. I'm not really sure what the format we're going to do here for the offseason. We'll see. We'll let you guys know. We'll definitely have more shows towards June for the draft and July for free agency, like we always do. And those are always fun times. That's going to be really fun this year because it's drafts in Pittsburgh, so that's going to add to it. We'll have a great week, probably a week ahead for the draft. We'll have a lot of shows then. But we're here with you tonight, so once again, you can call 347-202-0344. You can tweet us at the Pens Nation. Got a couple favorite moments. Oh, man, this guy, I can never read his name right. Macoman Mazmania says Crosby's first goal on November 21st was his favorite moment from the season. Angelie8718 says, I enjoyed seeing Neil have such a great season and proving to everyone he belongs on this team after a slow start last year. That's definitely, like I mentioned earlier, that was a nice thing to see there after a kind of a rough year last year. Kelsey Young says, TK's goal in Game 5 to keep the Pens alive. And that Game 5, that was a cool moment. Great atmosphere there. So it's a shame that they couldn't pull it out. But like I said, it was a great atmosphere. Cool, really cool to be there, too. High Hills Hockey says, my favorite moment of the season was eating lunch with Ashley. Hashtag woo Ashley. Wow. And then she adds on, and for real hockey, I enjoyed being at the game against the Sabres with Gino's hat trick. And there were a lot of Gino's hat tricks this year. I can think of three on the top of my head this year, two against Tampa. And I was actually at both of those against Tampa, one in Tampa and one in Pittsburgh. And guys, we talked about, favorite moments. Was there like a specific game that sticks out to you that you're going to remember? From positive, not negative games, but I think the Crosby's first goal November 21st, that was definitely a big moment of the season. And big one for me was going to Tampa, I believe it was in March. And it was when LeCavier punched Gino in the face and all of a sudden Gino just explodes. And it was actually, it was two games after the six-game losing streak, and this is when they started to win. So that was really probably the turning point of when the Penguins started to look like that, the team that we all have known for a long time, as they cruised. They won that game 6-3. Gino had a hat trick, and it seemed to be the start of good things to come. So that would be my favorite game. Do you guys have any games that stick out in your mind?
A little bit of a strange thing for me to say this, I guess, because, I don't know. It didn't really have any significant meaning other than the fact that it was the first game back. But I would say the season opener in Vancouver was one for me because that was, in the first game of the year, there's always a lot of jitters. And you're going up against the team who was the President's Trophy winner last year. You're playing against a lot of star power and everything like that. Sidney Crosby not in the lineup. And I remember when James Neal scored that first goal. And that was kind of the springboard for him to have a really fantastic regular season. And that first game going on the road, and that also sort of kind of springboarded a little bit of a hot streak to start the year. So that first game back was really, really exciting. Seeing kind of things come to fruition a little bit with the off-season developments, bringing us, Steve Sullivan, a guy like that, seeing James Neal, like I was just talking about, get off the schneid a little bit. But other than that, I mean, it's really tough to really kind of pinpoint one game because other than Crosby returning, I think the most exciting moments of the Pittsburgh Penguins regular season were those two really extensive win streaks where the team – was looking at a 7-8 situation. The team was really banged up. There was a lot of uncertainty about Chris Letang's injury. There was uncertainty about Sidney Crosby's injury. Even Jordan Staal was missing a significant amount of time, and they were able to kind of rally around that six-game losing streak and put in a relevant consonant. Oh, no, never mind. I'm going to quote Hannah Head. Go ahead, Ashley.
I honestly have to think back to March as well, but I would say the two games that I was at, just because if you know me, you know that I absolutely hate shootouts. Mm. Without a doubt. They are not my favorite thing in the world. And I actually had to sit through my first one in Pittsburgh in the arena, and I was an absolute disaster. And we ended up winning it. I think it was Evgeny Malkin and James Neal that got the two for us. But for me, as you know, I'm not really sure what this will make people think of me, but you know, for me, it was going down there, and I got to see, it was more because I got to see Jose Theodore in net. And he, you know, he was kind of a goalie I had grown up watching, and that was kind of cool to see Ian Fleury facing off. And it was the same thing. I got to be there for that Boston game, too, in mid-March when I think it was like, you know, 4-5-2, 6-2. They had a really good game, you know, and it was the one where they drove Tim Thomas from net. So, you know, given that it was like the Stanley Cup champion, it's kind of a little bit vindictive that way. So I have to say, I really did enjoy that.
So no love for the lunch with High Heels Hockey there?
No, obviously. You know, I have to admit, you know, having lunch with Stevie, that was pretty awesome. I brought Joe with him. I know
that was pretty sweet. Yeah, that was good.
He enjoyed that. I had to hit it with three different Tim Horton to find that. We found it at 2 a.m, actually, I think. Actually, no, maybe 3 in Hamilton, Ontario. They had Joe's Donut. But, yeah, that whole experience, that road trip, meeting a couple of people down there, that was probably, like, the best memory for me all season. So.
That donut lasted about 9 seconds.
donuts.
Canadian donuts. There you go.
Well, so some great moments there, and if you have any, feel free to tweet us, and we'll read them. Numbers 347-202-0344. Now we're going to move on to the other playoff series, as we saw the President's Trophy Vancouver Canucks get eliminated in 5 games from the 8th seed Los Angeles Kings. Saw the Blues take out the Sharks in 5 games. Nashville took out Detroit, and obviously Philly took out Pittsburgh. Florida's up 3-2 against New Jersey. Washington and Boston now tied at 3. They'll be going to Game 7, as well as Ottawa and New York. As New York wins 3-2 tonight, they force a Game 7, which will be played. When will that be played? Wednesday? Thursday. Thursday, Ottawa and New York will play Game 7. Washington and Boston will play on Wednesday. For their Game 7. So, guys, pretty crazy playoff series here. We're seeing a lot of, I know a lot of people, a lot of, I think Vegas, and not you should believe Vegas, but Pittsburgh and Vancouver were one of the top picks for the Cup, and now both of them were eliminated in the first round. And I think really the only series that didn't really come as a surprise, and I think a lot of people got right, was St. Louis and San Jose. Or Depta, you said San Jose, didn't you?
Yeah, I said Sharks at 7. But you don't want to go by my picks, because I had I was breaking it down, and if the Rangers win, I'll have a couple. But as of right now, I think the only series I've had right was the none so far. if Phoenix wins tonight, I'll have one. If the Rangers win, I'll have one. If Boston wins, I'll have one. If Jersey comes back and wins that series, I'll have one. But my Stanley Cup final pick was Detroit-Pittsburgh. So,
Well, mine was Pittsburgh and Chicago. Chicago's still alive, but...
I didn't pick anybody.
Oh, what fun is that?
Yeah, come on.
I just don't. It's a jinx.
Jinx. Really, you, like the Tooth Fairy is going to defeat the Easter Bunny in 7 games.
Just no respect, none. Sickening.
No respect for picking playoff teams.
No respect.
Oh, but right now, I'll maintain it. An Ottawa, St. Louis final would be hysterical, and a Phoenix, Florida final would be even better.
Well, no, this is the really interesting thing you have to break down, is that if you get in the next round, you could conceivably have, and Gary Bettman and Bill Daly might be in AA by the time this actually starts, but you could conceivably have in the East, Florida, Ottawa, Washington, and Philadelphia. And the interesting thing about that is everyone bashed the Southeast all year, and you could conceivably have more teams from the Southeast than the Atlantic making it out of the first round. And then you go out West, and you could have Nashville, St. Louis, Phoenix, and Los Angeles. So just, I mean, I love it. I love it. Personally, yeah. I think it is fantastic for the game. I think it says a lot about the salary cap. I think it says a lot about the parity of the league. But from a marketing standpoint, to have Vancouver, Detroit, Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. potentially New York, potentially Boston, potentially Chicago, all of these teams lose in the first round, it really just says a lot about where things are going. I'm rooting for the Warm Weather Cup. Phoenix, Florida, that's what I want.
That would be nice. Be good for both organizations, too. Be good stories to watch. There's plenty of those out there. But we do have a caller on the line. So, caller, you're on the air. Tell us your name, where you're from.
This is Evil Shiro from Castle Shiro. How are you guys?
I had a feeling it was you. How are you doing?
I was you.
I'm doing all right. It's been a long, long weekend, as it has been for everybody.
Well, Evil Shiro, what are you going to do here? What are you going to do in response? We saw the defense struggle. Marc-Andre Fleury. He's definitely your guy, go-to guy for the future, but just your thoughts on the series, and what do you need to do this offseason to make the team better?
I don't know. I guess what I've been doing recently hasn't been working, so I'm just going to listen to the fans, I guess, this year, and hopefully they'll steer me in the right direction. They seem to have it all figured out.
I have an idea for you, Evil Shiro. This is what I think you should do. Since the draft is going to be in Pittsburgh this year, I think you need to trade Paul Martin on draft day before the first pick is announced, so that the first thing that happens is Gary Bettman comes to the podium and announces that we have a trade, and announces that Paul Martin has been traded for the hometown crowd. It will be the loudest cheer you ever have at Compton Energy Center. I guarantee it.
I was going to do it Vince McMahon style, you know, have him come out and maybe announce the first pick and shake his hand and then do like a, "You're fired."
That would be make a very interesting start to the draft.
You're fired.
I'm all for that idea.
I'll pencil it in there. I'm going to present at the next meeting.
And you could do the, and you said you're going to have the fans decide. So you're going kind of like the EA Sports. They're having the NHL 13 cover. I mean, it's like the same thing.
I should have them vote, you know, who stays and who goes.
Yeah. I think I have a good idea of who they would want to stay and who they would want to go.
Technology these days, these kids have all the cap numbers figured out and how much I should spend and who I should keep. And I don't know. They make my job easy. Why work hard when you can work smart?
Well, we've seen a lot of trading everyone, firing Bilesman, trading Fleury. I even saw, this was ridiculous. I was looking at the, I don't know why I did this. I was looking on some message boards and I saw somebody that put, not trade Fleury, buy out Fleury. I was just like, are you serious? Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. That's definitely a great move for the organization.
Why get anything back for him? You can just buy him out and ship him off to sea.
Just
put him in a basket like an abandoned puppy and float him down the river.
Oh, God.
Not that I would ever do that.
You are evil, but you're not that evil.
No, I would never. I did have a reason for calling tonight. I wanted to thank you guys for doing what you do. I really appreciate it. I like the fact that you let me on the air. You've had just big time guests this season. Huge, huge guests. And you guys always handle yourself really well. And it's, you know, when it has to be, it's really good hockey talk.
Oh,
we appreciate it. And for the record, We didn't have you on. You earned your way on the show by being an awesome human being, Iwashiro. That's how we had you on the show.
No. You guys have been drinking.
No. Not tonight.
Sometimes you guys are great. I love listening. Spare time really doesn't come my way too often, but I always try and make time for you guys because it's legitimately good and entertaining. I can't really stomach too much else. So I just wanted to thank you. You guys do all the hard work, no matter where you're at. You guys are calling from wherever you end up being. You're calling from the car. You guys just make it happen every day. So
thank you. We've called from McDonald's parking lot one time.
I'm not sure if I was around for that, but it was good.
I called when I was on the T one time. That was probably a mistake, but but yeah, hey, thanks for the kind words. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Everyone does such a great job. I mean, Ashley, Nick, and Andy, of course, Joe Depto.
Of course. Well, we appreciate the Photoshops you send during the show.
Oh, sure. They take me a couple minutes. I like doing it.
It's amazing how fast you do them and how good they are.
I know. Imagine if I ever put time in the one.
Most of them have had Joe Depto's face on them.
Yeah.
My computer has so much Joe Depto in it. I don't know.
Depto overload.
If someone were to ever find it, they would have think I had some weird, weird obsession with him. I probably have every Facebook picture he's ever had saved onto my computer.
As soon as one's loaded, he immediately saves his computer.
I'm just going to start taking pictures.
I get a little
picker
on my phone that says Joe Depto uploaded a photo.
I'm just going to start sending you a daily picture of myself. Just make it easy on you.
Too funny. I think all of you have been photoshopped by me, so.
Yeah, well, you had that one where you put, like, most of us in it, so.
Yeah, I did the Saved by the Bell one with you guys.
Yeah, that's right. There's some really good ones. But we do appreciate the kind words once again.
Absolutely.
While you're on, we were talking about favorite moments and favorite games of the 2011-2012 season. What was your favorite moment or favorite moments of the season?
I mean, first and foremost, the trade deadline. I thought that was great. I can't even say it without laughing. Gosh, so many, I think what you guys just mentioned is winning streaks just coming out of nowhere, especially when the media was really on the Pens, losing four or five straight, and people started losing their minds a little bit, and a certain radio personality started spreading rumors, and it just got to everyone. Everyone was in a weak emotional state at the time about the team, and I think the C movement was really cool when they kind of got together and. I don't know. It was more of a publicity stunt, but it worked, you know, and they went on that huge winning streak. I thought that was something really special.
Yeah, that was part of mine too. Just looking the whole thing with the C's and everything, and just the whole team. It was definitely a team unity right there, and that was it did, like you said, it paid off, and it was great to see. Very memorable season. Obviously we're going to remember the ending and the third straight early exit in the playoffs, and I'm sure we'll be talking to Iwashiro a lot over the offseason to see what he has in store, but like you said, you really don't even know, because it really depends on the fans, I guess.
Fans, and then also everyone seems to be overlooking the CBA's not set in stone.
Yeah, that's
I think
too.
From Empty Netters mentioned that.
Yeah, they're not even talking at all. I mean, they have time here. I mean, I know the playoffs are going on, but you still have playoffs. You still have all the teams that aren't in the playoffs. I mean, the players from those teams could come in, and Donald Farron, Gary Bettman certainly could meet just to get this thing done. I mean, they know that this is a problem that's going to come up, so they might as well get an early start. But the NHL doesn't – they make it complicated sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad I never read that book that they give you every year with all the rules. That's what Jason Botter rules for. That guy read that thing cover to cover.
Making the assistant work.
I know. And for the record, I have had lunch with Stevie this season, so that was another highlight of my season as well.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's
from High Heels Hockey.
It's going to be the end of the live portion. So I want to thank all the listeners out there for this season. You're listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show. Didn't have enough time to thank everybody, but...
Sorry, I took up way too much time.
I remember a favorite moment of this season was...
What was it?
Talking to Mr. Doc Emmerich.
Yes, yes. That's a good
You're
one.
You're on the Pens Nation Radio Show. That would have to be...
That was an honor.
That was epic.
Yeah, we had a lot of listens that night. I don't know if it was the record. It might have been, but we had a lot.
You guys have had some big-time guests on.
Yeah, we're going to try to continue that.
I never got
that.
To pull Andrew WK for you guys. I talked to his assistant twice in February. He never got back to me.
Yeah, Nick.
It's always next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to be bringing more guests on. Even in the off season, we'll try to get some new ones. I know last year for the draft, we had like some prospects on, so hopefully we can do that again this year, especially since it's in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, JT Miller, you know, he was drafted in the first round by the Rangers, and we interviewed him before he was drafted, so that was pretty cool. So a lot of great things over the year, and we want to thank all the listeners this year for. And everyone visiting the site, too, because we recently just broke a record for most views in a month on thepensnation.com. So I want to thank everybody for that. Everybody, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for reading the blog. Really appreciate it. We try to do the best we can with everything and try to bring you all the best Pens coverage we can, whether it be on the radio show, whether it be on the site with the game days, the game recaps. Ashley, great job with the game recaps, too. I know that's not an easy thing, especially when you're writing about a loss. It's not fun.
No, not at all. But
you did a great job.
It's gotta be done.
You really do, Ashley.
Well, thank you.
It's not an easy job there at all. And I think that's all the thank yous I got. And thanks to everyone, all the writers, too. You know, Joe, Ashley, Nick, Ken. Guys do a tremendous job all year long, and we'll continue to do so. So, sky's the limit, I guess.
I want to give some anti-thank yous. So I want to thank Blog Talk Radio for being very, very buggy and causing us lots of problems. I want to thank WordPress for accidentally deleting a few of my articles and when I was writing them and saving them in the drafts. Yeah.
Anti-thank yous.
WordPress did that to me once, and now all the recaps go in a Word, like Microsoft Word, and they get saved and then they get pasted.
Yeah, that's probably a better idea. I need to start doing that.
Not going through that again.
Yeah, anti-thank you to the British lady for telling us every minute, how many minutes were left in the in the show or whatever it may be. We could have had the show without you. I mean, British lady, you don't need to be here anymore.
I thought you meant me for a second. I'm like, all right, guys, I'll see you later.
No, jeez.
No, you can stay on as long as you'd like.
I have a funny story I could tell real quick. I dialed the wrong number, and some Spanish lady kept yelling at me. And she kept saying, no, you're too static. Call back. And instead of, like, saying, sorry, I have the wrong number, I decided to just pretend I was speaking a different language. And she just kept yelling at me. So I would have called in a lot earlier. I didn't want to take up as much time as I did, but I was messing with a Spanish lady with a 347 area code.
Oh, my goodness.
New York City.
New York. Well, I think that's going to do it for tonight. Like I said, follow us. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're probably following all of us on Twitter. So stay tuned for Twitter. We'll see what we're going to do here for the radio show. We obviously, we're all hockey fans, and we enjoy all the hockey playoffs. So we'll definitely be talking about those. And we'll definitely have at least one show a week, at least, maybe more. But once again, I'd like to thank everybody all the writers, all the listeners for listening to this, reading this site. And Evil Shiro, thanks for calling again tonight. It was a pleasure.
I love you guys.
The feeling's mutual.
All right.
Thanks, Evil Shiro.
Good night.
And that was Evil Shiro. Once again, for the last time, I guess, we're going to talk about the Penguins, at least. Focus on the Penguins, I guess, for a long time. For the 2011-2012 season, we're going to bring that to a close as we will move on to the Stanley Cup Finals and the off-season mode for the Penguins, as it'll be a long off-season, but that's where we're headed. So once again, stay tuned on Twitter. For myself, Andy Hughes, Ashley Langlois, and Joe Depto, we'll see you next time right here on the Pens Nation Radio Show.